Well, a good Tuesday afternoon. I'm Jamie Nye. That is Locker here on the Green Zone as we've got another busy program coming up for you. Britton Gray will be in, the latest from Rider practice and the latest on the health of star defensive back Roland Milligan Jr., who hurt his shoulder in the first game, that win over the BC Lions. Of course, we'll talk a little bit more about the end of an era for Hockey Night in Canada. John Shannon will be on the show and much more this afternoon on the Green Zone. And yes, we'll bring you up to date. I know you're all anticipating our World Cup report a little bit later on this afternoon.
Hanging on every word until we get there.
It's actually star power day at the World Cup. Let's get to the starting lineup.
Let's go.
Each and every day we begin the starting lineup, the top sports stories, and yes, as mentioned, the end of an era for Hockey Night in Canada.
Hello Canada and hockey fans in the United States and Newfoundland.
Today we found out Hockey Night in Canada on a Saturday night is done. Sportsnet and CBC, with a joint news release today, said their relationship will be ending after the original 12-year agreement when Sportsnet bought the NHL rights. They also came to an agreement of kind of renting the Hockey Night in Canada brand of CBC. And yes, CBC owns the Hockey Night in Canada brand, but the relationship's no longer. Saturday games will be exclusively on Sportsnet. As CBC does not plan to sell Hockey Night in Canada to Sportsnet as a brand. They'll continue to use that in some way or other. But CBC did announce what is going to be replacing their Saturday nights later this year. They're going to have a primetime show on CBC and their streaming platform featuring the best performances by Canadian athletes competing in major events all around the world and here at home. So CBC is going to lean heavily into highlighting Canadian sport and Canadian athletes, especially they do have the Olympic rights.
Yeah.
And they're getting ready for the LA Olympics. So that's going to be a different priority for CBC. Sportsnet has a new 12-year agreement with the NHL that starts this coming season. They'll continue to have Saturday night hockey on Sportsnet.
That's it. I mean, you can have an opinion one way or the other about what this means for, you know, hockey or hockey viewing. And
I watch Saturday nights.
This is a huge loss for CBC. It's a massive loss.
When I was on Saturday nights, I'd go to CBC. It's just
one of my earliest memories as a child is Saturday nights watching hockey with my dad. Like, and that's from the 70s. Not that I need to date myself, but yeah, I wouldn't call it nostalgic. I mean, things change and you gotta move on, but this is also a consolidation thing for Sportsnet, right? They signed that deal because they knew that they had to in order to piggyback the
brand.
This
is what happened. Sportsnet bought the rights and of course, and CBC didn't have Hockey Night in Canada, and Sportsnet didn't want to jump into Saturday night without having the Hockey Night. They wanted to tow that brand along deeper, and they have. And now they feel, okay, let's sever ties. So goodbye to Hockey Night in Canada, apparently, on Saturday nights.
Yeah.
A little bit later on, we're going to do the Mount Rushmore of Hockey Night in Canada.
I'm interested to see what John Shannon says about this, too.
And he was a former producer of the Western Games on Hockey Night in Canada, John Shannon. Will be joining us a little bit later on.
We'll stick with the NHL. That didn't take long. Vegas has already kicked Tortorella out to the curb.
First of all, Pat, some breaking news. John Tortorella will not return as the head coach of the Las Vegas Knights. I just got that announcement, and not to steal Emily Kaplan's thunder, but I did want to pass along that little news brief here. The Las Vegas Knights coach is out in Las Vegas.
So that is a official, I guess, he doesn't have to finish off his 2 weeks. Well, he needs time to go to Carolina and get his suits. Torts sparked the Knights back to a 7-0-1 record at the end of the regular season. That gets them, secures their spot in the playoffs. And of course, he goes 14-8 in the playoffs and a surprise run to the final. I don't think too many people, we did that, that Stanley Cup prediction thing at the end, beginning of the playoffs. And how many people at the end had Carolina?
Carolina, I believe it was four people.
How many people had Vegas in the final?
Well, there's four that had Carolina and Vegas in the final.
Okay, all right. Listen, there's some jobs open. It'd be very interesting to see what happens. There are some very interesting names being tossed around. You've heard us talk about it here on the Green Zone. Edmonton, Toronto are both looking. Toronto's the wild card. John Chayka, who knows? Like, he literally could hire the guy that rents him a car in Toronto, right? Like, you, this guy is a complete wild card. So who knows what's going to happen. In Edmonton, they seem to want a hard-nosed coach. If they're going after Babcock, does that keep Torts? Does that make him part of the conversation?
I think it has Edmonton to.
As well? Like, I think it does. I got to be honest. I think I'd take Torts over Babcock. I'd take Bruce Cassidy over Torts.
They can't. Nobody's allowed to talk to Bruce Cassidy yet, apparently. Anyway, now their excuse must be they're mourning their Stanley Cup loss and just don't want to answer the phone to give permission for Bruce Cassidy.
Well, first off, everybody, I've said this before. It's a vile organization. So who knows what they're doing.
Let's go to the Toronto Maple Leafs. Speaking of John Chayka, he started his work reshaping the roster. He trades away goaltender Joseph Woll.
Loose in front, Joseph Woll's got it.
Centering pass, Draisaitl knocked down. Another shot, stopped by Woll. Another shot, he stopped that too. Holy mackerel! The last shot of the game is a dive across the net. Stopped by Joseph Woll.
We're going to miss Joe Bowen with those calls for the Toronto Maple Leafs, aren't we? Of course, Woll last season, he had 15 wins, 16 losses, couple of ties. Didn't have the greatest year in net. So Joseph Woll's going to the Philadelphia Flyers, along with the Simone Benoit. The Flyers send to Toronto a defenseman, Emile Andre, netminder Samuel Ersson, and a third-round pick. Andre played 61 games for the Flyers last season. Ersson made 33 appearances. His save percentage was worse than Joseph Woll, so we'll see how everything goes for the Toronto Maple Leafs. John Chayka also announced that a new coach should be hired in the next couple of days. The names that have received second-round interviews that we know about are Patrick Waugh and Joe Pavelski.
Listen, over the years, I've taken a great deal of joy out of the misery that has been caused in Toronto for whatever reason to Maple Leaf fans. Even I'm at a point where I'm like, you guys don't even deserve John Chayka. Like, I feel bad now.
He might want to look. Nerd in Carolina just won a Stanley Cup, so Toronto's open. Nerd in Toronto wins the Stanley Cup. Now, when I say hockey nerd, that is an endearing phrase that was used by Greg Wyshynski in a great, great piece on the jock and the nerd with Rod Brind'Amour and Eric Tolsky.
I really think it's unfortunate that Leaf fans need to go through this. This is going to be a really dark time for Leaf fans. McIlroy is defending the Canadian Open as more changes are coming down the horizon for the PGA Tour.
An event like last week, the Canadian Open, potentially going to one of these Track 2s. And like Track 2 is a glorified Corn Ferry event. Like that's what Track 2 is going to be. So I don't think the Canadian Open should be one of those.
But it's about money, right? So they are going to tier the tournaments, and it's going to be based on sponsorship and prize money, right? And prestige. Mm-hmm. And the Canadian Open may end up in a Track 2 instead of a Track 1. The Track 1s would obviously be the more premier events outside of the majors. Are the majors separate from Track 1s? Do we know?
Yeah, the majors are a separate.
The majors are majors. Then there's Track 1s and then Track 2s. So it looks
like the Players' Championship. That'll be a track one event.
Yeah.
Like the Arnold Palmer Invitational, the Memorial. Those would be Track 1 events. The Waste Management Open in Phoenix would be a Track 1 event.
Yeah.
Where you get more money and you get bigger names. But I'm glad Rory's standing up for the Canadian Open because it is a historic golf
tournament. It's the third oldest championship in the PGA Tour. So it is something worth having a discussion about. But at the same time, RBC isn't going to, they're not going to throw $30 million at a sponsorship. Or I maybe.
They might. To keep it as a track one event, they might. Who knows? They already sponsor the Heritage as well. So
I guess the cost of my checking account might go up then.
We'll see on what happens in golf. Of course, the U.S. Open starts on Thursday. Practice rounds continue. And the World Cup, Lionel Messi and Argentina open the defense of their World Cup as their tournament starts in Kansas City tonight.
Lionel Messi. Messi's hitting it! With Messi, he'll go for goal here. Oh, my goodness gracious me. If one man could win a football match, it would be Lionel Messi.
Yes, Lionel Messi tonight as the Argentines at 7 o'clock up against Algeria. Right now, France and Senegal, 0-0. France, of course, the runner-up in the last World Cup with Kylian Mbappe and Ousmane Dembele.
This is surprising too, right?
Right now it is. A 0-0 draw right now, 55th minute with France and Senegal. And Norway, another star, of course, Erling Haaland. You remember him and his Norwegian soccer mates? They were at which Stanley Cup final game were they at? Game 5.
Oh,
it was game 5 in Carolina.
Yeah, the guy with the ponytail.
Yep.
It looks like he should have a sword wherever he goes.
No, he's Norwegian, so there's got to be some Viking blood in there somewhere. So Norway is up against Iraq at 4 o'clock this afternoon at the World Cup. As for the Canadian update, Moise Mambido he was a full participant for Canada today, so he might get minutes in that game against Qatar.
That's good news.
No disclosure if Alphonso Davies is in return-to-play protocol or a main participant today at training, so still a lot of speculation about the Canadian Alphonso Davies and his status for Thursday's match. Coming up next, who would go on your Hockey Night in Canada Mount Rushmore? As Hockey Night in Canada on CBC officially ended this NHL season. Man, there's so many names. Don Cherry, Ron McLean, Dick Irvin. Dave Hodge is getting some votes. 1-877-332-8255. This is the Green Zone on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.
Hello, Canada and hockey fans in the United States and Newfoundland.
Jamie and Locker with you here in the Green Zone as Sportsnet and CBC announce Hockey Night in Canada on CBC is finished. That's it. Sportsnet will take over exclusive Saturday night. CBC will have a new primetime show featuring Canadian athletes all around the world doing various sports on Saturday nights. So Hockey Night in Canada, Mount Rushmore. We're asking you, who would it be on your Mount Rushmore? There's three for me that have to be on the Hockey Night in Canada, Mount Rushmore.
Don, Ron.
Nope.
And Bob?
Foster Hewitt has to be there. Bob Cole has to be there, and Grapes, Don Cherry. Howie Meeker, Dick Irvin, Dave Hodge, Harry Neal, Ron McLean, yes.
You're not putting Ron on.
Foster Hewitt, Bob Cole, and Don. Did we watch Coach's Corner for Ron McLean's puns? No, we watched for Don Cherry.
There's no way Don would have lasted even half as long as he did without Ron.
It was Coach's Corner with Don Cherry.
You will never convince me that Don would have been gone in 5 years.
Okay, so Ron's on yours?
Yeah, you have to have Ron on.
So you're on Ron and Don.
Ron and Don, and I loved Bob Cole and Harry Neal. Listen, I understand the Foster Hewitt, the importance of, you know, being the first guy and all that. And I just, for me, you're asking who, for me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's your four?
Yeah.
Bob and Harry and Ron and Don. So many pretty.
pretty girls around me and they're waking up the rocket.
Keep up.
Why you mad? Fix your face. Ain't my fault they all be jocking.
Keep up.
Players only.
Come on. Put your pinky rings up to the moon.
Jamie and Locker with you in the Green Zone on this Tuesday afternoon. Britton Gray will bring you up to date on rider practice today and the health of Roland Milligan Jr. after his shoulder injury in the opening win over the BC Lions this past weekend. We do have a goal to report. France has made it 1-0 on Senegal. Senegal did tie it, but they were offside, like way offside. It didn't even look like he was trying to be onside. He was so offside. So it is 1-0 France at World Cup action. Canada again plays on Thursday in a big match against Qatar in Vancouver. But right now, we're going to take you to Vegas, the very latest on the runner-up in the Stanley Cup, the Vegas Golden Knights. Ken Bulkey joining us again from Sin Bin Vegas. Always appreciate your time, Ken. So now we know John Tortorella is not coming back. Are you at all surprised?
I don't think anything surprises me anymore.
Is this life of Ken Bulkey covering the Vegas Golden Knights is just waiting for another shoe to drop or what?
That delivery says more about what you have to deal with than any question we could ever ask.
Guys, they could hire me tomorrow, and I'd be like, I'm all right.
That's fantastic.
So, are you up for the job, Ken?
I got some ideas. I don't know that they'd be good ones, but I got some ideas. I could tell you we'd be pulling goalies in the second period when we're down by four, that's for sure.
Got to try it. So who is...
Yeah, give it a go.
Ken, who is Ryan Craig? Because we keep hearing this name pop up whenever there's a coaching conversation about the Vegas Golden Knights.
Yes, Ryan Craig played in the NHL for quite a while. He's originally from Brandon, and anybody who knows the connection, there's a pretty tight connection between Brandon and Kelly McCrimmon and the Golden Knights. A lot of the people around the team are from there, Mark Stone included.
The broadcast booth as well.
Yeah, right. Yeah, correct. It goes pretty deep. And actually, Mark Stone might not be from, he might just be from Manitoba as opposed to just Brandon. I don't know. But he played in the NHL for a while. He was on the initial coaching staff with Gerard Gallant. So he's here from the beginning. He then was retained on the coaching staff, the only one that was retained when they fired Gallant and then brought in DeBoer. He was then retained after they fired DeBoer and brought in Bruce Cassidy. He was on the bench when they won the Stanley Cup in 2023. Then after that season, he was transitioned to be the AHL head coach in Henderson, which is a suburb of Vegas here. And he's been the coach there. They had a couple of rough seasons, and then this year was quite a bit better. So it's pretty clearly like a hand-picked, groomed candidate that it seems like is next in line, which is kind of out of character for this team, but it does seem like that's where we're headed.
Yeah, what is the likelihood that it is in a few days they're announcing Ryan Craig as the head coach? Because I believe the Oilers were denied permission to speak to Ryan a few years ago about a coaching job.
That tracks.
Yep, that would not. Yeah, I've seen them do that before, right? I think that's pretty likely going to be the case. But as you asked me at the beginning, nothing would surprise me.
Ken, what kind of coach is Ryan Craig? What can Vegas Golden Knight fans be, I guess, anticipating for next season?
Honestly, I don't know that we have a great answer for that. Like, okay. It's really hard to get a real feel for what a coach is with an AHL team, mainly because the game's different. You're not necessarily trying to win at all costs. You're not at all putting in your own system. So Ryan Craig has been under three significantly different systems. And the system that the Silver Knights have been running is just what Bruce Cassidy was running. He was doing the same thing. And the idea is that you have continuity. When you call a guy up from the AHL to the NHL, he's running the same system. So I don't think we know what we're going to get. I don't know what type of defensive system. I don't know what their attack will look like. Like the human being himself, he's a pretty under control guy. He's a thoughtful guy. He's a very nice man. Like, I like the guy a lot. Smart hockey mind, I think, but I don't think we have a really good feel for necessarily what you're going to get.
Ken Bulkey joining us, Sin Bin Vegas, covering the Vegas Golden Knights as we get days removed from Sunday's loss to the Carolina Hurricanes. from your perspective, what happened after game three to the Vegas Golden Knights, who were up 2-1 and looked to be in somewhat control of that series against Carolina?
Yeah, you can go back. They were up 2-0 in the third period of game two. They were in control of game two. They had a 4-goal lead in game three and let that one slip away. I think just the main thing that happened is the Carolina Hurricanes happened. We're going to look back. I don't think they're getting the credit that they deserve yet. That's an epic Stanley Cup championship run that they just went on. They were 16-3. It's very, very hard to do to win 16, period. To do it at 16-3 is unbelievable. I think their style, the way that they go about it, the grind that they take on you, and it happened to these other teams a little bit faster than it happened to the Golden Knights, but I think eventually it's just hard to keep up with them. Vegas caught some injuries along the way. The goalie wasn't as hot in the final, and all of a sudden you're kind of buried beneath the Hurricane, as opposed to what we thought they might get buried beneath the Avalanche. Look at me with my puns.
Ken, previous to the Stanley Cup final, there was a lot of conversation about Carter Hart possibly even being, a Conn Smythe favorite. And then, like you said, the Carolina Hurricanes happened, and we're looking at one of the worst Stanley Cup final performances from a goalie in the history of the Stanley Cup Finals. I'm curious about, are fans asking for his trade? How is this all going to, settle out?
I mean, what are we supposed to do with that position? He was a legitimate Conn Smythe candidate. He was a huge reason why they beat the Avalanche. He was a big reason why they beat Anaheim. And then, whatever that was, in the final, it's 4 goals in 5 straight games. I didn't like the goal in game 6 that he gave up to Taylor Hall. All of a sudden it goes down the tank. It's so hard, especially with fans here. Fans in Vegas are very similar to fans in a lot of different places. Ever since Marc-Andre Fleury has been gone, when Fleury was here, it was never the goalie's fault, and it's always awesome. He's a different animal. But since then, it's always, when the goalie's stopping him, he's amazing. And then the second a few go in, this guy's horrible. Fire him off into the sun. The problem is the organization kind of hasn't been able to figure out their answer to the goaltender position either. Mm. This is their 5th goalie in 10 years, and they're, would not be surprising if they end up going with another one. I think still, because of the body of work, Carter will probably be the starter heading into next season. I would be surprised if Adin Hill makes it through this offseason as a Golden Knight. I think they're going to try and trade him, and then they'll bring in another backup. But I would also tell you that I think 2 years from now, there'll probably be somebody else that's the clear starter that's not Carter Hart.
Adin Hill's going to be asking out of there. The look on his face.
Yeah, but who wants him?
There's
struggled too.
Why did you want to leave, though? Why leave? We got everything.
Because he should have been put in game 5 at the end of the second period.
He's already on the cup. He's already got the championship. He can just hang around. He'll be fine.
So, Ken, after the game, of course, the Toronto media is going, yep, dealt with that guy. After game 6, Mitch Marner, always one of the first in front of the media in the good times and one of the first to run away in bad, and he was not available to media after game 6 in the Stanley Cup final. Is that just Mitch being Mitch, or is there more to his avoidance of talking about losing a Stanley Cup despite being one of the biggest names in hockey?
I think that's why he came to Vegas. I think that's acceptable here, whether it should be or not. I think that's part of the deal, is you can be shielded a little bit in the moments you want to be shielded. Jack Eichel didn't speak either. Carter Hart spoke only once during the entirety of the Stanley Cup final after media day. The captain does not speak after every game. He speaks sparingly. He did today, and everybody else spoke today, and Marner spoke today, and had a really good piece about mental health that everyone should listen to that was good to hear. But I think that's just part of the deal of coming here. And honestly, it cost them a second round pick that they have that mentality of sometimes we're not going to speak to the media. And I think the league's probably on it, but that's part of the deal. And I think that was one of the selling points when he came here, whether it was outright said or not. I think speaking to other players He was probably told, if there's a day you don't want to speak to the media, if you go through a really hard moment, just don't. And it'll just kind of go away. And I think that's what's going to happen.
So, Ken, one of the nice things about talking to you, and we've had you on a couple of times now, is just your brutal honesty about the team that you report on. And I'll throw this question at you, because this is a conversation we've had on the Green Zone a couple of times about how other teams, just based on the reputation that Vegas has right now, how other teams moving forward may or may not deal with Vegas. Do you think fans should be concerned that the organization kind of has this reputation and it may lead to other teams maybe not picking up the phone so quickly when McCrimmon is trying to get a hold of them?
I think they're probably a difficult team to deal with. I don't think there's any debate with that. I think they're difficult to negotiate with, certainly for agents. We've heard that a number of different times. They have a very here's the number and then hang up the phone type of style. However, I do think if you go back through a lot of the trades that they have made, for the most part, and the Golden Knights have been pretty open and honest about this as well, is they pay the price. If you want to trade Rasmus Anderson, they'll pay the price of a first-round pick, a second-round pick, and Zach Whitecloud. You know, like the deal for Noah Hanifin, they paid the price for him. They paid a lot for Jack Eichel. So I think our GM's a little bit more hesitant to deal with it. They're probably, like, begrudgingly, like, nah, I don't know that I want to deal with this. But in the end, if there's a player that you need to move, there's probably one team that's at the first of your mind that's actually going to pay the price to make the deal, and that's the Golden Knights. By the way, that goal was incredible that France just scored.
Yeah, 2-0 now, France over Senegal at the World Cup. Final one is Pavel
Dorofeev. Live updates. Nice work, Ken.
Pavel Dorofeev, of course, restricted free agent a few years ago. Edmonton got caught with some cap crunch, and there was St. Louis picking up a few key pieces of their team. Could that be the case for Vegas, or would it just be too much to offer sheet him, and they'd have to whoever's picking him up might have to give up three first round picks for the amount of money that guy's doing?
I'd go after him.
I think there's an argument. Do you have the numbers pulled up in front of you? Because I don't. Do you know the number on what it is to make it a first, a second, and a third?
Oh, it is.
What is it? It's
like $12 million or something like that.
Yeah. I think it's like in the nines. I think once you pass.
Oh,
like
first, second,
nine,
third. Yes.
It becomes multiple.
He's doable, right? Like, he'd be a target
for that amount, for that first, second, third amount. I think that could put a lot of pressure on the Golden Knights, especially if they do like a bridge with that. So if it's like a 3 or 4 year deal with that number, I think that puts a lot of pressure on the Golden Knights. Cause I don't think they want to go in the, you know, much above like 6 or 7 for him. And if somebody does decide, I am willing to pay a first, a second, and a third.
He's a top six
guy. They're going to have an interesting decision there. Yeah. The problem is, though, he does not, and this is such a ridiculous thing to say, and please don't yell at me while I say it. He doesn't do much of anything but score goals. There's not a lot of defensive work rate. I know, stop it. Don't yell at me. I told you not to laugh at me, and then you did it anyway. You're killing me. But, like, I think there's a legitimate argument from the Golden Knights that they could say, for a first, second, third, to not pay this guy way more than we probably should, we can probably go use those picks that we don't have to go get something even better or even more valuable. I mean, heck, they could potentially move that to get Dylan Larkin and then use the same amount to get Dylan Larkin. So, like, as much as I think that normally teams are a little bit of afraid of an offer sheet, I think if somebody comes in with that, I don't know that it's necessarily going to be the worst thing for the Golden Knights.
Is Larkin an upgrade?
Sign him to a massive contract. But then
that's an upgrade.
Dorofeev? Oh, for sure.
Okay.
Sure.
All right.
Yeah.
Oh,
so
yeah, he does so much more. I don't even think it's close.
Any offer between 7.1 and 9.5 is first, second, and third. And then if you go
like
higher than that, it's 2 firsts. Yeah.
Like, look at the players making $9.5 million, and then think about, would those players ever be on a third line in the Stanley Cup final? Like, he was on the third line for a good portion. He got benched in the Utah series for being useless. Like, we need you to do something. He didn't. Then they benched him. Then he scored the game-winning goal, and it got lopped off by an offside challenge. But that's what happened. Like, in this postseason, he was stapled to the bench for a good portion. And it's like, now we're talking about $9.5 million, or you get a first, a second, a third round pick. I don't think it's the worst situation. He's going to sign that offer sheet for sure if it comes. It's just it's an interesting spot to be in. And I, weirdly, I think the Golden Knights are in a fine spot with it. If somebody comes in with the offer sheet, let them do it. If they don't, then sign them to the deal you want them at.
Well, Ken, we'll leave it there. Thank you so much for your time, and enjoy another interesting offseason for the Vegas Golden Knights.
That was awesome, Ken.
Looking forward to it. Thanks. See ya.
That is Ken Bulkey from Sin Bin Vegas is where you can check out his work covering the Golden Knights. And we'll see what's ahead in Vegas. Coming up next here on the Green Zone, this day in sports history. Then Britton with your rider update on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. This day in sports history, let's go back to June the 16th, 1996. Yes, 30 years ago today, the greatest of all time reclaimed his throne in the NBA. Yes, Michael Jordan, in his first full year returning from baseball, had the Chicago Bulls back in the NBA championship, and they won it in Game 6 over Seattle, and for the fourth time in his four NBA titles was the MVP of the NBA Finals.
I still think that trip to the professional baseball was...
There's something going on there, I think.
It was a creative way of suspending him for gambling.
It was just a boyhood dream come true, Locker. That's what it was. Honest.
Can you swing a bat? We're going to need you to go play baseball for a year.
But the weird thing is, it wasn't like he wasn't great, but it's not like he was terrible.
He wasn't terrible
playing baseball.